Well, hey, good evening, and welcome to anyone who's still not in the pub for our pre-match Naked Football Show. In the studio tonight, we welcome a naked virgin in the form of TWDD stats guru, Mr. Chris Rand.
Hello.
Chris is joined by our regular contributor on his second appearance on the show, Mr. James Cummins.
Good evening.
And our trio, of course, is completed by His Majesty King Ham.
Thank you. I was called Emperor earlier on the message board, wasn't I?
Emperor Ham. Emperor Penguin
not
Ham.
By someone who couldn't spell Emperor, but never mind.
So really, not much main talking point tonight. It's going to be pretty obvious, I think. So email in with your thoughts and questions to studio@icrfm.co.uk or drop us a text on 07797 800 712. Does anyone want to make a cursory talk about the Blackpool game, or do you want to just skip over that and get to all the Chiavelli controversy and the stuff?
Yeah, go. We're talking about Chiavelli. Go on.
Yeah, he was good. That pretty much covers everything positive about Saturday.
Moving on.
He looked like he had potential, didn't he? But then again, everyone's been saying we've been, you know, missing a left-sided player all season and all that. But he tried Ambrose in the same position, and you know, Ambrose looked good in his first game too, so going to have to give him a while yet, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, he did all right. I thought first half they kind of, the players kind of looked confused by some bloke standing on the left, yes, using his left foot. What's he doing? And he wasn't brought into the game enough, I thought, first half.
No.
But gradually as it went on, he got more and more involved, and he showed some nice touches, and he sent in a couple of decent crosses, didn't he?
He did, yeah, and he looked a tiny bit off the pace, which is only to be expected, isn't it? And I thought, to be fair, he did quite well, considering thrown in.
He did all right, I think, tall. I think that's the he did all right, really.
One other thing about Saturday was, actually, I think it's the first time this season, played a 4-4-2 with a left back at left back, a left winger on the left wing. We actually had round pegs in round holes, but it worked. So let's go back to
we just didn't play terribly well, did we? I mean, generally, I thought it was just a bit lacklustre. Why didn't we? And Blackpool didn't look any great shakes, did they, at all? So why didn't we? Bearing in mind, as James says, we played square pegs in square holes for once. Why didn't it work?
There's clearly a lack of belief in the team at the moment, isn't there? I think we all agree on that, and there's just something wrong. And I think that's probably at the heart of, I'm sure we'll talk about later, about the managerial situation or lack of it, but, you know, he's not instilling some sort of belief in them, that they don't really seem to know where each other is going to be and that sort of thing, which all comes from this sort of confidence thing, doesn't it? You know, they are playing in the right positions, they're not wandering all over the park in the way that certain players have done in the past. You know, they are where they're supposed to be, and yet people don't seem to know where to find them, which is a really strange thing.
They just look like they couldn't even carve a leg of lamb, let alone carve open a defence. What was the word last week? Clinicism.
Actually, there's quite an interesting Ipswich reference to that, because I looked up clinicism to make sure I got the right one. And it's in London Fields, Martin Amis novel, based this dart player in it called Keith Talent, who, and apparently Keith Talent was loosely based on Keith Deller, which is very odd.
Really?
Yeah, his wife was called Kim, and it was his real son. Anyway, sorry. Away from Martin Amis rope. I mean, midfield-wise, I think all season we've played this sort of narrow four, deliberately so. Quinn's sort of, he's not a winger. Norris isn't a winger, but they all play in a sort of central midfield four that comes in very narrow, which is why you get Norris coming in the middle and Quinn going into the middle and all that kind of thing. And the idea normally when you play like that is you get your width from your wingers. From your fullbacks. And I don't think that's happened, which is why I think Volks has looked kind of a bit lost, because, you know, he is that kind of fullback as a sort of right winger, effectively. And Thatcher isn't really an attacking fullback in that sense.
And Wright isn't when he's on the other side.
And Wright is always going to find it harder when he's on the wrong side. So really, it's kind of perplexed me, really. And now you're getting a winger brought in on the left. I mean, actually, to be fair to Jim, he has tried to play wingers. I mean, he brought Gary Roberts to come in as a winger when, 2.5 years ago. So he's not someone who's been averse to wingers, but this year he's tried to play this kind of sort of running midfield. Do you know what I mean? It's a lot of endeavour rather than quality. And hopefully Chiavelli will bring a bit of extra class to it all. But, I mean, you know, we do obviously then come to the central crux of this week, which is is the gym question. I mean, are you a gym outer or a gym inner? Or, I mean, I see myself more as a gym skeptic.
I'm a gym skeptic, certainly. I don't think, I think I've mentioned on TWTD this week, I think you know, he's not in the job that he signed up for the start. I mean, he's got definitely got different priorities now to the way he started up, although Mr. Evans has suggested otherwise today that you know, there's a lot going on behind the scenes that Jim likes, but I don't think he's now in the job he signed up for at all. And whether he's the right man for this job at the moment, I'm not sure. I think the route he's chosen to go, since Evans took over and said promotion at all costs, which has been to you know, try to expand the squad and try to pick a team to match the opposition and change it each week to do that. I mean, he's not changing it for his own sake, he's changing it because he believes those changes need to be made each week. And I don't think that's worked. It's not really what's happened. So, you know, we need to have a different plan, and whether that involves someone other than Jim or not, I don't know. But I think, you know, that's certainly, if he gets to the end of the season, which I suspect he will now, if only through what Evans has said and his own personal pride, he'll keep Jim on there. I think he'll be under instructions next season that, you know, or if he doesn't know it already, you know, that tactic has not worked. And, you know, he's got a lot of bitty players in, and you know, who are, you know, great. But, I mean, it's hard to pick a side because there's so many players who are of equal sort of ability.
Yeah, I think that's true. We have a squad of a lot of very similar abilityed, if that's such a word, players. And, I mean, we won't have next season because, of course, 13 of them are on contract.
Yeah, well, one of the interesting things, I've looked up a few stats and things tonight, as you would expect.
Excellent.
And he, although he's, you know, chopped and changed a lot, and I've got a quiz later you can all do, which should be quite interesting, so I won't give away one of the questions now, but he's really at a core of five outfield players who he's played wherever he can, which I think is more than people think. Which is
two rights,
McCauley.
Walters.
Oh, outfield players I'm talking about.
Oh, right, sorry.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so McCauley, Walters, Wright, David Wright, Norris, and Richard Naylor when he was here. And he played them, he's basically played those five whenever he can. Virtually, they've hardly been dropped. And then the other five positions have been filled by nine players, basically, so he's alternating them. So it's, you know, it's a big squad, but it's not this sort of massive chopping and changing.
So it's not 30 players vying for 11 places.
It isn't. I mean, he's played a lot more than that, and I shall ask you how many later, but a lot of them play one or two games, that sort of thing. But, you know, in fact, you know, the vast bulk of the season has been filled by five players in one position, the same core five, and another nine filling the other five places.
One of the things I've talked about, everyone's talked about this, but this rotation, especially at the start of the season, and comparing, you know, Jim to Benitez or to Ranieri, and I, you know, we sort of thought, well, okay, go with these sort of five changes here, five changes here. But I think every fan thought this time of the season now, the run in, we'd have fit players who weren't knackered, who could, you know, push for promotion if there were one or two injuries. But, you know, there isn't this push, and I sense that whilst there is a sort of protest of sorts going outside tonight, I would still be a Jim inner. But for now, with reservations. Certainly on other issues. I mean, the signing of Lisby's has not worked at all. That was obviously his decision to sign him. My personal preference for Bruce and the length of his contract, which I thought was diabolical, but just moving forward, do we see, you know, any of these players being offered contracts next year because they've fallen out with Jim, Harding's gone away, come out and said, well, I played well, okay-ish at Palace, and then was dropped completely for the Chelsea game, and you know, maybe you see factions within the team now starting to think, well, hang on, I'll just keep quiet and we'll see where I am at the end of the season. If there is a new manager and if a contract is offered, who it is, will I stay or will I go? So I think there's a lot of unanswered questions, which is why I think people are, you know, upset, angry, annoyed at the current state of affairs.
I'm not surprised at all that there's demonstrations and protests, and, you know, if people want to protest because they're unhappy, then really they should. They're spending their money, aren't they, at the end of the day, and it's an awful lot of money in the current context.
You know, your memory of town doesn't have to go as far back as some of ours in the studio do to know that we've been in much worse positions than this before without protesting against the manager, you know.
I mean, it's not necessarily the position that people are, I think the position quantitatively, it's more the fact that it's expectation for one thing. It's the vast amount of money that's been spent, and I think the fact that people can't really see any progression from the Preston game the first half of the season to the Blackpool game on Saturday.
That's certainly true. Right?
And I think people are kind of, you know, and to some extent there is this kind of feeling perhaps that the club aren't listening to them, that the club are kind of blithely going ahead, Jim's keeping his job, and everyone's going, well, you know, he's not done the job that he's been paid for, so why should he still be doing it? And, you know, you can't really blame people for being unhappy. But there again, you take positive out of Marcus Evans being patient, because that is ultimately does benefit a club.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a year since he took over, and if this idea that things did change when he took over in terms of priorities and that, Jim's only had a year to do that, and that includes signing new players. Well, I mean, it's been interesting. I didn't realise how many new players Jim had signed since the takeover. I mean, this is something you bang on about Phil. It's been such big upheaval since Evans took over, and I've always think I'm not sure about that, but in fact it's true. It's of the 25, 26 or so players, currently sort of the core of the squad, he's bought 12 or 13 of them in the last year, which is, that's hard, that's a big change.
And it's not something that's ever happened to the club before, really. I mean, I think, as you say, there has been a change of priorities. Things were seen as kind of an evolution prior to Marcus Evans coming in, and it's revolution, really, with the changes in the summer.
It is all Jim's, isn't it? I mean, everything there now is
well, he can't.
Down to
he can't point to it, hit a legacy of players left from the previous management now, because I'm trying to think if there's any really.
Are four players left from Joe Royle's era, and they were all teenagers at the time.
Really,
the only four left are Bowditch, Garvin, Haynes, and Supple.
Yeah,
that's it. There's everyone else. He brought five players in the first period before Evans. He brought in Bruce, Canargo, Miller, Walters, and David Wright.
That's still here.
Yeah, the place he's got at the moment, and the other 12 or 13 he's brought in the last year. So he's got rid of everyone who wasn't a teenager when he took over, which is quite a clear out. To be honest,
can we have some emails?
You can actually.
Otherwise, we're going to run out of show.
You can. And bizarrely, I've had two on my mobile for some bizarre reason. I think you'll have to field this one, Phil, because all I've got is a number, right? So you're going to have to work this one. Well, I've got the number of
binary.
It's the life, universe, everything.
The number of the person who sent, but no name. Greeting from New York. Met Phil when I was with Melvin Sullivan the last match I attended, which was the last time we played Forest. Now, who could that be, Phil? Melvin Sullivan. Do you know Melvin Sullivan?
Yeah, I do. He's one of the London brothers.
And you went to the Forest game when they won 6-0.
Yeah, I think it's a guy called Dennis. I think I seem to remember meeting him with Mel Sullivan before that. He was an American supporter. I think it was his first game, if I remember right. If I'm thinking of the right person. Obviously a lucky omen, so you're not going to make it from New York. There we go.
Hence the email with a New York number, presumably. Results and mood, very discouraging, but reaction we are seeing from the supporters over here and boards are really nasty. Are things as bad as they seem, or is this just a radical fringe? I think they're as bad as they seem. Although there is a radical fringe, isn't there?
That really just keeps stirring the same old thing up. Yeah, I mean, I think an awful large section of the crowd at the moment are a bit depressed about things, but I don't think people are in large numbers angry.
Well, funny enough, I had Jonathan Blake on the phone earlier from Angry TV, sort of ringing me up about stuff, and he said, at the end of the game on Saturday, he would be surprised if there was a large protest. I mean, he's a neutral, which is why I'm bringing him in, really. And he said he would be surprised if there was a big protest tonight, because there was so little protest on Saturday.
Yeah.
Normally things kind of, at the end of the game there was a, and that was really it. There wasn't any kind of massive amount.
There was a feeling going out on the ground on Saturday, which, and it's not been the only time in the last few weeks, which is just sort of, when will this all be over type of thing.
Yeah, do you mean the season?
Everything, just everything about it. It's just, I think one of the problems
eschatological feeling towards the end of the game.
Not many people one of the things about Jim having brought so many players in is I think there aren't many players there that we kind of relate to. I'm not saying it's not our team, but I don't know, it's just people feel, is this us? There's nothing much. Where's the Matt Holland or the Mickey Stockwell? There's no one like that anymore. And the youngsters, who you can always relate to, because the youngsters, are playing bit parts. And I just think, you look at this lot. You just look at this 11 and each week, and you just think, is that really my team?
But that kind of cult heroism, I suppose, has to be earned. And they haven't really had, there's not really been the performances or the, or the achievement in order to earn those. Someone was saying, bemoaning the loss of Fabian Vilnius and Richard Naylor today, because they said that they are the last of the kind of players that the fans related to in that way.
Yeah.
I suppose you could say that John Walters has got that sort of following. Pablo amongst the girls. Campo amongst the hairdressers. Well, you've got James has got an unusual kind of thing. His brother has a new job and a request.
Yes, a plug from the North East, which is where the Football Supporters Federation are based, and my brother, luckily enough, to land his dream job, which, you know, in the first 2 months of his employment, took him to Seville last week.
Oh.
Yes, for the England friendly. So
hard life.
Yes, hard life. But on a very serious note, he's been hired to do various things. It's called the International Officer, which is all sorts of paraphernalia, putting together lonely planet guides. Other travel guides are available.
My heart goes out to me.
Yeah.
I'm almost in tears.
For British clubs who travel Europe on policing, stewarding, kick-off times, hotels, bars, restaurants.
Does he have to try out all these bars?
Well, he's not adverse to a lager or two, it must be said, but they do cover a variety of other stuff, so if anybody's got interests or things, if they've travelled with England to anywhere and found countries or cities weird on a Tuesday, they have to dress up in green and all sing a song, then let him know, so that anybody who is travelling to Bratislava or to Sartid or to Moscow or to Liberec, the weirder cities amongst those. But I'm not going to say that the Moscows and the Milans and Munichs aren't covered there. But if anybody's got stories, information they'd like to share, then they can go to www.fsf.org.uk. And find a link to my brother and tell him about all your weird and wonderful trips to European cities, and he'll publish that in guides and hand it out to the football clubs who are currently still in the UEFA Cup and beyond. So
and your brother's name is just
Gareth Cummins.
Gareth Cummins, there you go. So obviously he does know, presumably, that the national sport of Luxembourg is musical chairs. As Tan fans found out when they were there.
Well, if he didn't, he does now.
That actually got into the Guardian, didn't
it? Yeah, it did.
I cut it out.
That,
yeah.
Tan fans playing.
Rearranging the
musical
furniture.
Musical chairs in the main square in Luxembourg.
Disgusting behaviour, according to it. And they made them play Black Mambo's something or other, didn't they? They made the band who would normally play traditional folky type tunes.
Yeah.
They made them play some pop thing.
They were all requests from the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good fun.
It was very good luck.
This is from our man Git. Organising a protest about Jim is very embarrassing. Jim's a friend, not an enemy. I wish to protest against the protest. In point of fact, there's nearly a third of the season to go. We could still get promoted, and then what would the protesters do then?
Look very silly, but they do anyway.
I suppose if we do go on to get promoted, then they'll presumably as you say, look foolish. But I don't really see it happening to you.
I think we all know what the chances of that are. The bookies are putting odds on it. Very high.
I mean, the other thing, there are signs. I mean, definite signs that there is a end of the season limit that's been set by Marcus Evans. There's one, the fact that he kind of said we'll see where we are at the end of the season in his statement. There's the contract situation in that. All the players who are out of contract, none of them in offered contracts except Bruce, which I think was probably a political decision to try and placate the... Bruce had kind of become the cause célèbre of the Jim Out band, sort of just before Christmas. The deliberate way that Derek Badman, I spoke to him last week, did say the manager in the summer and not Jim. Not suggesting that means that Jim's definitely going, but that there is a question. And I think to be fair to Marcus Evans, he has always said, or it's always been kind of believed, that he was going to say the end of the season, and it does appear that that's the case. Anyway, you better get your quiz in, because we're running out of time.
I've just got a couple of questions
that
I thought might be fun to have. First one, which I don't think we've covered on the podcast before, which is how many times this season has Jim played the same starting 11 in consecutive league games?
Now that's quite hard, isn't it? What do you reckon, James?
Three.
Are we talking about
league games?
Consecutive league games.
Same 11 lineup.
The
match before.
Number of occasions when there's been consistency, or number of occasions in a row. Because there's two different questions there, isn't
there? The number of times that the same 11 has lined up as the previous game.
Oh, I reckon
consecutive. You mean it?
Yeah.
I reckon three.
Yeah, it's one.
I was going to go one.
Which games were they then?
QPR and Blackpool in November.
QPR and Blackpool.
Blackpool 15 when
we won both, didn't we?
That's interesting though, because in that one was home and one was away, and there does tend to be this.
That's true, yeah, he did.
Let's come to Kevin Lisby's defence, by the way, because I think Kevin Lisby's played very well away.
No, I agree.
Rubbish at home, but he's been good away. Next question. Sorry.
Okay, here's the other question. Just because it might, you know, put a myth to bed. Everyone, you keep hearing saying we need a 20 goals a season man.
I've said that a lot.
How many times in the last 20 years has a Town player scored 20 goals in the season? League goals.
Well, David Johnson did, I think, didn't he? At least once. 20 years. What did that take back to? 89. Well, I don't think David. Kiwomia didn't ever manage that, I reckon. Probably about twice, I reckon.
Marcus, did he? Mark Stewart?
19, I think. Oh, yeah. I would have gone same answer three, but yeah.
Yeah, the answer's twice. David Johnson.
Twice.
97, 98, and 99, 2000. David Johnson got 20.
Did he?
Yeah, but I think no one else ever has.
Coochie and Bent both got 19 one year.
They did, yeah. The season that we went mad.
Johnson and Stonecroft both got 19 in our year, didn't they?
I'm not sure about that.
Matthew and Marshall?
No, nothing.
It's been very close.
Right? I think the point is
they were too injured to get
there.
I mean, that was appearance.
I mean, when we won this division in 91-92, when we won it, Kiwomi only scored 16.
Did he really? But who else would have scored? Witten would have got a few. Right midfield. Goddard would have got a few.
I think the point, the question really is though: do we need a 20 goal a season man, or do we need a bunch of players scoring? Because that's where we traditionally do well.
Well, yeah, I think
we have that now, though, don't we? We've got everybody on 7 or 8.
Interestingly, on a goals per minute basis, John Stead is nearly on 20 goals a season.
Is that right? Mm. Yeah. Well, I once worked out a stat that someone put it out on the rest of it. I've forgotten this, that I think it was one of these seasons where Richard Naylor had started coming on a sub a lot at the beginning of the season, something like that.
That was every season.
And I worked out that he'd score something like, based on the current stats, he'd score 180 goals in the season.
Stead's only got 8, but I mean, he could end up with, you know, 12 or 13 quite happily, I would have thought. And given the number of games he will have played by the end of the season, that's pretty commendable. Yeah.
But I think the point I've made, really, and I don't know whether other people are kind of were aiming at the same thing, but I don't think we've got that clinical. I think we've got a lot of second strikers. We've got Pablo will do well alongside someone else who's going to get more goals than him. Stead will do the same. Lisby will probably do the same. I just think we need someone like Jason Scotland was for Swansea, who you know, chance goal.
Yeah, I agree, but I mean, I just don't think there's such a thing as a second striker. I think you're either a striker or you aren't. You need to get the goals or you don't. You know,
Heskey's a good example. Heskey's an excellent
very
example.
Very rare example, though, isn't he? So,
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of these sort of. I'm trying to think of these sort of very.
Stonecroft at his peak. Scoey, there's a lot of goals for people, but I mean, you know, these are really rare examples.
I'm not convinced. Give me stats on that. Come on.
Damn, bring it.
Go on, next question.
That's all the questions I should bring up. Although, you know, perhaps we should remind people on the subject of goal scorers that it's only 3 years ago that our highest goal scorer was Nicky Forster with 7.
That's true. And only 15 years since our highest goal scorer was Klaus Thompson with 5.
Absolutely.
But that's, I mean, yeah.
You know, so, you know, things ain't maybe so.
We were fighting different battles, though, I think, when we were. This Forster season was the season we were 15th, wasn't it?
It was Royals last season.
The other thing about that season, of course, was, you know, Royal towards the end started playing the youngsters, and is that what did for him? You know, we plummeted at the end, it didn't work, and just wonder whether history could repeat itself. I mean, I really want to see the youngsters in the team, don't get me wrong, at the moment, but I think I'm a little bit scared, although not as nearly as scared as we all are of what might happen if Jim goes.
Which?
As we were talking about before.
Yeah. Who might come in?
That's what worries me.
I'm convinced that everybody who is protesting tonight has got this pipe dream that Kirby's going to walk in, solve everything, but that's total. What you're going to end up with is somebody like A.D. Boothroyd playing hoofball.
I don't think they would go for somebody who's got a record of getting a promotion.
Yeah. The thing is, if Jim left now, there isn't anybody out there, is there, really, that you could...
I don't think they'd bring anybody in now. I think they'd look for some. If they were to sack him, which they won't, they would look. They would keep Gorman in or whoever in as the caretaker manager to the end of the season. Then look around in the summer for someone like. I mean, I'd like if we were looking for manager, I'd go Martinez because I think he's a fantastic manager. He plays fantastic football and is he has experience beyond his years as a manager. I think. If that makes any sense, because he's kind of been brought up in a football environment with his father as manager.
Is it a step up though from Swansea to here, or are we kidding ourselves?
You'd get money to spend here, which they alluded last week that they wouldn't get any money. Swansea really, unless they go out and get, you know, the Dubai Oil Consortium to take them over. Is there any money for them to push on from what has been a very good season for them? I mean, they're still in the cup, they're eighth of the league despite last night's defeat. Rather sadly, let's see which of this is Norwich in the bottom three.
Quickly, because this guy's. We've got two more emails, and from Steve, our man Steve in Sweden. Possible end of season scenario, ITFC get their act together, sadly too late to reach the playoffs this time, but finish a creditable 8th and keep a bit of interest alive until late on in the season. They also send down our web-footed friends to League One obscurity, yes, and that wouldn't be such a bad season, would it? And the good times are probably just round the corner, possibly.
Let's hope.
Yes. Jim Leggett, now that Marcus Evans has come out in support of JM, what is the point of the Jim out demonstrations tonight? Marcus is obviously aware of the fans' feelings and decided to follow the Ipswich way and give the manager time to succeed or fail. Surely we should be getting behind the team or managers to try and make the playoffs. While I think Jim has had enough time, why ditch him now? For those that say it would be best to make changes now to give the new man time to bed in, consider this. Any astute businessman, and I think Marcus Evans is, will have a replacement in mind before he sacks any manager in a key position.
I think that's probably true.
That's very, very well said, actually. Yes. Mr.
And, of course, there is a school of thought that that might be the case anyway, that he has already got someone lined up for the summer.
Yep.
I'm not saying any names, or I'm not saying I've had any insider knowledge of this, but that,
or maybe he's got his assistant already in.
You could argue, well, there's that, and you could argue that the scenario as it is at the moment is sort of does follow the pattern as if someone was coming in the summer. But you know, similarly, it follows the pattern as if they were going to get rid of the manager in the summer and find someone at that point. But I think all good points from the
emails. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, very good. Do you want to have a quick prediction about tonight?
What
the score may or may not be. We haven't got the motivation we may have had, but still.
Oh, Mr. Earnshaw.
He's injured, I can't believe
They actually have got a few injuries, so I will. Whilst I'd like to see us, maybe, I won't say like to see us draw, because that would worsen Norwich's plight, but let's go for a win 2-0.
So we're not quite at the stage of now looking for results that will make Norwich's season worse rather than improving our own.
From my position of mid-table mediocrity on the those of the day's prediction league, but coming in now on the back of two in a row, correct? 2-0 Ipswich.
2-0 Ipswich. I think we'll win. I think we'll win 3-0 tonight. But talking stats and playoff chances. What do the stats tell us?
The stats tell us that I have actually, along with a friend from the Britannia stand, so you see we're fairly open in the Green King, worked out how many points it's going to take to make the playoffs. We've found a winning formula that actually has worked for the last seven seasons. And that gives almost nailed on 74 points this season.
Right.
It predicted 70 last season, it predicted the seasons before as well.
And Town would require what sort of form to make 74 points?
Way better than anyone's showing at the moment in this division. Better than Hull showed in the last third of last year, but interesting, not quite as good as Sunderland did in the last third of the season before.
Sunderland they started off very low, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah, they got 35 points in the last 14 games or something. We'd have to produce the form that Sunderland showed, finishing off
10 wins, isn't it? We've got 44 at the moment. 44 points, roughly what we got. So we need 74. So that's 10 wins from how many games?
I don't know, third of the season.
14 games.
10 out of 14.
14 games left, and we need 30 points from
us. We're away to Reading,
Wolves, we're away to everyone above
Sheffield,
us.
Sheffield, everyone above us.
Yeah, so tricky, I think, is the
challenge.
Yeah. Well, as I say, from a historical base, almost nobody's ever done it before.
And on that bombshell.
Absolutely, yeah, we have to go now. So, for those of you who were watching Air Crash Investigation before the show came on, apparently Shelley Kelly died in the ambulance. And Joanne Cummins has emailed Phil to say that James is stuck on the
A12.
Is he? Yeah.
So that's what you told her.
Yes.
So, on those bombshells, thanks everyone for listening. Thanks to Chris. Thanks to James, thanks to Phil, thanks from me. Enjoy the game today, let's hope it's a good one and don't get too stroppy about everything. You know, it's only life, isn't it? Absolutely.
Chill.
Yeah, so have a good one, everyone. Take care. Bye bye.
Billy Kerr, it's all for me! There is one question I...